right.
Good evening, David Michaels. How are you doing tonight?
Good evening, Daniel Miller. I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am good. I'm really actually excited about this episode because we get to talk about how we came about coming up with our names for our companies. So with that, let's go ahead and jump right into it. With your company, David, how did you come up with 2Deck Entertainment?
You had to go right for 2Deck, huh?
Okay, well then let's go ahead and dance around that.
No, it's fine. It's just a longer story, but I'll shorten it.
How did you come up with Spiritual Smarts then?
Well, I'll get to them, and then, you know, I've had other smaller companies under the 2Deck banner that I'll... Yeah, so all right, let's start from the beginning. Okay, so...
In the beginning...
Many, many moons ago, when my people came to this land... All right, so, 2Deck, spelled TUDEC.com. Where the name came from? Truth be told, it's a word I made up when I was 14 years old. And there's a whole sci-fi, fantasy, fiction, adventure story behind it. But that's a secret for my true fans to find out.
Ooh.
Yes. And I think I'll have, like, a contest or something, a prize, like, you know, everyone on the email list, if they know the true meaning, the origin of the word 2Deck, then they get a free episode or T-shirt or something. I don't know. I want to do something like that. So we'll keep it a secret on Small Business Podcast. But I will say it is a word I made up, and it does have a story behind it. And because it's unique and I made it up, it was always available online as a username, as a domain name, as a business name. No one else had it, so it was always free for me to use. I didn't really have to worry about anyone trying to steal it from me, because what the heck does it mean? It doesn't mean anything to anyone else. But it sticks for some reason in people's memories. They remember the word 2Deck, even though it's just a made-up word. And it works. They remember it. They remember me. They remember the business by that name. So I kept using it.
That's not bad. I like that. Well, as for myself, the Ranger portion of Ranger Labs just came from the fact of, if you look at any of the RPG games, you can always find out that the Rangers were always on the front line, being very stealthful and making sure things happened.
Rangers were awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, and you just felt like paint after that.
As I've said before, the purpose of the Ranger paint is to act, the Ranger Labs is to actually be a polar, I guess you will, of all the products that we come up with.
Right. And 2Deck is like that too. It's mostly an asset and intellectual property holding company. And we've got different subdivisions, sub-companies that are doing all the various stuff. In the past, I ran an online webcomic business called Echo Comics. And that one actually has a little more easier of a story to tell. It was probably, I don't want to be so pompous to say I was the first, but I was one of the first webcomic companies to be using Flash to animate and add, you know, audio to comic books on a website. You know, this is back in the mid to late 90s. So, you know, I think we were using Flash version 4 at the time. Was like the cutting edge thing. So that tells you how far back this was. And I wanted something in the name that, A, told people, hey, this is superheroes, this is comic book type stuff. So that's why we put the comics on the end. But I wanted also something that hinted at or told people this is more than just comics. This is alive, it moves, it has audio. And how I actually picked Echo was kind of silly, actually. I was thinking, brainstorming all day long, what do I want to pick? And I was just trying different names, and a lot of it didn't sound right or didn't flow or whatever. And one day I'm driving down the street, and I pass this little side street named Echo Street. I'm serious. It's out in Valrico, Florida, or Echo Drive, whenever it was, right off of Kings Avenue, for any of you Floridians out there who know the area. And driving along, and I see Echo Street, and I'm like, Echo Comics. I like how that sounds. And Echo, it's sound, audio, you know, it's repeating. So I liked it, and it stuck, and that's what I ended up using.
Wow.
See? So you never know where you're going to get your inspiration.
I would say that's just most entrepreneurs. They're able to watch what's going on around them and make things happen about it.
True, true. And, you know, you might see something on a billboard or a commercial, or your five-year-old kid will say something. You're like, that's the perfect done. You never know. Now, when you're picking the name for your business, there's probably about five key things you want to pay attention to. Do you want to talk about the first one, Daniel?
Yes, and that's one of the things that we're going to talk about is you notice between your idea of Ranger Labs, my idea of Ranger Labs and your idea of Tudak, Spiritual Smarts, or Echo Comics, all three of those have something in common is that they're original in name. You don't find those when you look for them too often.
Right.
Or you're specific. And the easy thing about each of our names is that we know easily how to spell them. Echo Comics is pretty easy. Tudak, while a stretch, you could probably figure it out if you knew it. And then you have Ranger Labs. That's one of the first things that you need to make sure you have, is that you have a unique name. Because if you have a name like, I don't know, pick something, Colts Football, you're going to get lost in the crowd. And what we were talking about the week before with the search engine optimization, it makes it a lot easier for people to find your company if you're able to go and easily be found on the internet. If you're unique, if you're individualized, if you get lost in the clutter of the internet, you're not going to be found. And you don't want to be doing that if you're a company.
Right. So absolutely, definitely in your market, you know, find out who all your competitors are, big and small. And you want to make sure your name is significantly unique from them so that you don't have like Bob's Tools and Rob's Tools. That's no good. Even though they're two separate companies and you may be very distinct and competitive in totally different ways, but think about your average customer who is new to you. They haven't become a loyal repeat customer yet. They may have seen your commercial or heard about you from a friend or something. You want your name to be unique enough so that even if they didn't quite remember it right, but they got it close, they'd still be able to find you in a list. So definitely
right.
put a little thought into something unique and have fun with it too. Think about, in its uniqueness, have it reflect you or your business or something. Like when I picked Echo Comics, Echo talked about the audio side of comic books. It was relatively new at that point in history. Now, you know, lots of people are doing it, but I was one of the first, and I hold that title. So,
but that was back at the beginning of the internet.
Yes, back in the beginning of the internet.
At the beginning
when we
of
all
time.
Had pet dinosaurs, and we had to walk to school uphill, barefoot, through the raging blizzards while fighting off polar bears. Good times.
And then, once you're on the internet, you have the next thing. Can your name be pronounced? As simple as that may sound, if you have something like Tudak Dibs, that's the kind of difficult to pronounce. It may be easy to individualize because you have your own unique ID, but it's going to be difficult to go ahead and tell everybody else, hey, go to Tudak Dibs. I don't even know how to spell that personally.
Yeah, I don't
but that's
even
what makes it exciting.
Yeah, and quite honestly, Tudak isn't the best name because it's hard for people to remember and spell. Well, pronunciating, if you can read it, you know, it's not that hard, you know, Tudec. But sometimes I've said, oh, yeah, my company, Tudak Entertainment, and they think, like, two decks of, like, cards. And I'm like, no, just Tudec. And then, like, once you spell it once or twice, like I said, for some reason, people remember this name. If it wasn't sticking so easily for so many people, I would have changed it. But this is just kind of
a situation where it's a one-time deal. But if people are actually going to type into your website or type in the search engines TUDEC.com or TUDEC, you're going to find you. And that's what makes it great. And so that goes back to that uniqueness thing. is you have to kind of balance it with the uniqueness.
Right, and even if you Google and you spell it wrong, Google will say, did you mean tunic? So, and you know, as long as they can get close to it, you're still okay.
And that's nice, especially if you can go ahead and have something where it accidentally gets found.
Yeah, and other things to also remember is, think about the long-term vision for your business. Like, if you're just going to stay a local company and you use, like, a local name in your town, you know, maybe the street you're on or the name of the region you live in or something like that, and it's familiar to local people, they know that name, they know what it means, and you're just going to stay there, that's probably okay. That's good. Then it's easy for them to remember. But if you ever want to take it national or international, which now with the internet age, why not? You can ship products to them, or you can work with people over the phone if you're like a counseling type business or something like that. If your name is locally based, like for example, I mentioned earlier the town of Valrico, you know, is where I grew up. And if I had a, you know, say Valrico Entertainment, say I named my company that, that's fine if all I did was work in that area. People are like, oh, we know that name, we know how to spell it, we know what it is. But if I started going across state borders, people are like, what? Rico? They wouldn't know what it means, they wouldn't know how to spell it. It would make about as much sense as Tudec does. So keep in mind your long-term vision when you're thinking of a name, and think it's something that'll be easy for people to remember and pronounce and know what it means, even if they're not from your area or know your particular unique niche market or culture or community, whatever you're part of.
And don't be worrying about it too much if you do get yourself locked in. A good example of this is Fifth Third Bank. For those of you who don't know what Fifth Third Bank is, it's a bank that we have down here in the Florida area. But they actually started up in, I think it was what, Chicago, Illinois, maybe?
I'm not sure.
Well, the point is that they've started up north. And would you like to guess which two streets they had as a cross-section?
Fifth and Third?
Exactly.
Oh, nice. I always wondered how they came up with that name. I thought they just did bad fractions or something.
So what originally happened was go to the bank on 5th and 3rd. It just grew from there. So they were able to take that and change it out. So if you feel like you've limited yourself, don't worry. You can always go back and change it later to a larger name, because that's what branding's all about.
That's true. And then they have the uniqueness, because how many banks are named something like that?
Or a 5th, 3rd. But at the same time, you also need to be wary of how you do it online, because they have – I mean, if you could tell me what their bank site is, I'd be very impressed.
I would guess like fifththird.com spelled out.
I don't know what it is, and that's the problem. But if you want to go to Bank of America, you can type bankofamerica.com, and guess what?
Right. It's right there. Absolutely. Which
so,
now
that you know some more information about Fifth Third Bank and Bank of America – that brings us to our next point, which is ease of memory.
Yes, which we've been talking about all along, because it's definitely something you want to consider.
Yes, and the reason why we've mentioned already, but if you can find some way of committing it to people's memories. So let's go ahead and role play out, David, your name for your company.
Okay.
What you find with a number of agencies and of companies is that they have a hard time pronouncing it, or they feel their customers won't be able to get it. Then what they'll do is they'll come up with some sort of wacky campaign. So for yours, what we would do is come up with some sort of way of getting people to remember Tudec.com or Tudec. So if you had a commercial, it would go something similar to this. Hi there, you need to have comics. We can provide them to you. You're stuck at work. Would you like to read some comics online? Then go to Tudec.com. Oh, wait. If you need to figure out how to spell that, well, it's TUDEC.com. That's Tudec, because we didn't know how to spell two the first time around. There you go. So you'd have something
a little bit of humor,
has a little bit of a gimmick to it, and then go from there. And that's how you get your uniqueness, and that's how you get it ingrained into people's memories, is by using some sort of comedy or something in that area. Or you can go the route of Bank of America, where you just become so huge, you've done so much advertising, that you say the word Bank of America, and you are the Bank of America.
Or you can also just do something really simple and just have another name that is easy for people to remember and spell, and register the .com for that too, and have them both point to your website. Like, for example, when I was running Echo Comics, I had echocomics.com and tudeck.com, and whichever one you typed in took you to the same website.
And now that you mention that, I would point out that that's a good idea for you to do, is when you go ahead and start looking at buying up websites, buy up the accidental websites too. As stupid as that sounds, the accidental websites do get a lot of people going to them. So, for example, if you ever want to go to ESPN.com, you're fine. Ironically, if you go to EPS.com, everyone do not go there. That is a porn site.
Really?
It's just two letters off, and you're going to – it's a difference of being still employed at work to you're not having to come in on Monday.
See? And all to check your latest court statistics. Or even just simple things like if you go to Google.com or Yahoo.com, both those have two O's in it. But sometimes you get a little ambitious and you accidentally hit three or four. It'll still say, oh, you meant Google with two O's, and it'll take you to that site. So they've got all that stuff caught for you. If they didn't register for those things, your web browser would go, huh? I don't know what server that is. But since they registered it, accidental types, slight misspellings, things like that. It's so cheap. Like, I use GoDaddy.com right now. And you can get, like, a domain name for, like, what, $7-$10 a year?
$8.
There you go. And sometimes, you know, you might catch it on sale or whatever. But yeah, under $10, you can have your own .com or .net or .whatever. $10 a year or less. $8 is their current rate. So spend an extra $50 a year to snatch up five other variations of your domain name. Or, like, it doesn't even have to be misspellings. It could be things like iwantawesomecomics.com also takes you to tudeck.com. Or thebestsuperherostories.com also takes you to tudeck.com. So just easy stuff you can use in your marketing, especially if you want to try a different marketing campaign, you know, a different catchphrase or something. Register the domain name for it. Done.
And that pays off in droves, because then you could just you also have some site linking going on, which is a carryover from last week's episode.
Right.
That's a joke, everybody. All right. And then finally, filing concepts. We already covered phonetical recognition and spelling. That was what I was talking about with Tudeck, how you can get that into people's minds. So, David, you want to talk about filing concepts? Because I didn't run into this when I was doing it, but you brought up a good point in our show prep. I know. We did show prep, everybody.
Weird, huh? Yeah. Filing concepts, or another way of saying that is when you need to register your business name and when you don't. If you are forming a corporation or limited liability company, when you pick the business name, that's registering it for you. There's, as far as I know, there's nothing else you have to do about it. But say you're a sole proprietorship, which a lot of businesses start out as because it's cheaper, it's easier to manage. You know, you don't get the tax benefits, you don't get the liability protection like you do with a corporation, but it's way easier to run, especially when you're just starting out and you don't even know if the business is going to be viable 6 months or 2 years down the road, so you want to test it out first before you invest a whole bunch of money registering names. If you have your full name in the business name, for example, David Michaels Entertainment or Daniel Miller Paint Supplies or Tire Paint or something like that.
Right.
If you have your full name in the business name, you do not need to register a fictitious business name.
Huh.
If, for example, you just create a business name like Tudeck Entertainment or Spiritual Smarts, since your name's not in it, theoretically, the public technically doesn't know who's behind that business, so you need to register it. And in that case, you file what's called a DBA, or doing business as. And it's pretty simple and cheap. It's, I know in the state of Florida, it's like $50 for 5 years. I'm assuming it's a similar price in other states. And you have to run, like, there's, you may notice in like some newspapers, there's like a section in the classified ads that talk about fictitious business names or something like that.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
Yeah, that's for people registering their DBAs. You have to run a little classified ad. It doesn't have to be in a major expensive newspaper. It can be like a little small circulation community newspaper. You just have to somewhere put in print, I so-and-so am planning to use this business name. And it has to run for like a week or two, whatever your state requirements are. And that's it. That's all you have to worry about. You send in your form, your $50. You say, you know, I've run this ad in this paper. And, you know, you show your receipt or whatever of it. You keep a clipping of it. And you're done. The state government comes back and says, okay, congratulations. Here's your fictitious business name. Filed. Which now means you can use that business name. You can open up a commercial checking account in that business name. You can... It's your business, your name, you're free to use it, it's registered. However, this is something not a lot of people are aware of, as long as we're talking about this.
Okay.
When you register a DBA, that gives you the right to use that business name, but it doesn't prevent anyone else somewhere else from using that business name.
Huh. Oh, yeah, I remember that. They can use it outside of the state.
Right. So if you want to protect your business name and have no one anywhere else using it, you either need to trademark it, which is expensive, or you want to incorporate. And at that point, you know, you start locking in and protecting your business name. So just things to think about. But just getting started, testing out your business, getting off the ground, keep it simple. Run a DBA, and you know, you can use that business name. Or don't even worry about that. Just say, I'm Bob Smith Enterprises.
I would recommend that you go through the whole hustle and rigmarole of getting an LLC or something to that effect, unless you're doing some sort of sole proprietorship and you know what you're doing. The reason why is that going through the whole process of becoming a small business and getting to know the government and what their requirements are, especially if you get a federal... Employment number? What is it called? Employee identification number?
Employer identification number.
Yeah. I'm going to get this one of these times. By going through the entire rigmarole of doing that, it makes getting your taxes and everything else done a lot simpler. Because if you go and find out what your state requirements for filing sales tax, what your state requirements for filing other taxes, if there are any, because in our state, Florida, all we have to do is a nice, simple little form. I want to point out to everybody, come to Florida. If you want to have nice, easy, simple sales tax, believe you me, it is so much easier. I was reading an article about somewhere in another state who had to do sales tax, and they said, I'm moving to Florida. I don't have to do income tax in Florida. I don't have to do all this other stuff. And if you don't think companies are moving because of that, I want everyone else to think twice about that. But that's my little tangent.
And that's one thing states can do to stimulate their own local economies is create tax incentives to move businesses in there.
So, it is so much easier for us to do work here. And David, you had that when you were in California. Florida is so much nicer to the small businesses on how you have to do stuff. When you were out in California, you were saying in one of the earlier shows that you had to pay a whole bunch of money. And when I told you how much it costs here in Florida, you were beside yourself.
Yeah, well, in California, if you have a corporation or an LLC, I believe, you have a minimum annual tax of $800. Even if your company lost money that entire year and didn't show any profit, you still got to pay to the franchise tax board your $800 minimum.
Oh my God.
You know, that's for, you know, if you're starting out a part-time business while you're going to work full-time and you've got all these startup costs and operating costs, I mean, that hurts. That stings a little bit. So these are just things to consider. But if you live in California and you want to start your own business and you want to incorporate, that's something you got to deal with. Just plan for it.
And that's one of the nice things about going through the whole rigmarole, like I was saying before, of finding out what your state regulations are. And it may be easier just to say, hey, look, we're Bob Vans Incorporated. But by going through the whole system and figuring all that stuff out, you'll feel much better when it comes to dealing with the bureaucracy that's in place. Because it can be overwhelming at some times.
Right.
I've been overwhelmed by it. But let's go back more to the topic. Focusing on what you want to have in a name, going through and actually registering it, and making sure it's a unique idea, all contribute to how you can come up with a great name for your business.
That's right. And just, you know, as with everything we say when it comes to legal, business, tax, things related, every state and sometimes every county have slightly different rules and regulations. So always check in and see what you need to do for your business.
All right. Are you ready for this, David?
Yes, let's do it.
David Michaels and Daniel Miller are not certified lawyers. We do not pretend to be lawyers, nor do we go ahead and want our advice to be construed as being lawyer's advice. If you'd like to go ahead and get advice, please consult with your local lawyer. They may be able to detail, to specific degrees, some of the nuances that come with your state and state taxes.
That's right. Thank you. And or cheaper options, Small Business Development Center. You know, or, you know, there's all kinds of government agencies. You call up the IRS and say, hey, I want to make sure I'm filing my taxes correctly. What do you need from me? How much is this going to cost? Is there minimums? Things like that. So, yes, it would be nice if there was some simple, unchanging, flat rule regardless of where in the United States you lived. But we are the United States, not, you know, just quote-unquote America. So each state has its own state-level laws, and then you've got county-level laws, and it's just, yeah. So... we're here to get you pointing in the right direction.
Can you imagine the utopia that you have going on if you didn't have to deal with some of this stuff? Oh, my gosh. California wouldn't even be thought of twice to go to as a company if they had what they had here in Florida. Oh, thank goodness they don't have their act together.
Could you imagine if, like, the tax code was just X percent of what you made, period?
In California?
Anywhere. Even personal income.
That would be great, except no one would go for it.
Yeah, it's unfortunately not that simple because, you know, some people, lower level income, they can't afford to pay X percent, and they need to get all their money back. And then the rich people can afford more, so they end up paying more for the people who can't pay. And it's just, I'm glad I'm not an IRS person because it's just too complicated for me personally.
It's not an IRS situation. It's a situation with our government. They want to make sure that everybody's paying... their fair share.
Fair share.
So, before we get into another tirade that I can go down for at least 14 hours...
That's right. You haven't had a rage of the week in a while.
Well, I've been trying to coach myself. I figured that since we've become nationally syndicated and people know us, not nationally syndicated, but since we've gone to a national level, I should probably not go ahead and fly off the handle.
Oh, but it's entertainment. Come on. People like it.
Well, I can probably come up with one next week because I have a good one.
All right.
So you've been listening to the Small Business Podcast with David Michaels and Daniel Miller. I know. You feel lucky. We feel lucky, too. So if you'd like to go ahead and get a hold of us and email us so you'd have some podcast suggestions, or if you'd like to be a guest on our show, you can do so by emailing us at smallbusinesspodcast@gmail.com. You can check out our website and leave comments about the show at smallpod.blogspot.com, or you can become our Facebook fan. You know what? That's really a good idea. Facebook fan. Doesn't it sound
That's
nice
how to be
vision?
Swell.
You can be our Facebook fan.
That's right.
Join us, won't you, as our Facebook fan?
don't start begging. They'll never join.
No, actually, that's the girls from The Shining. Join us, won't you?
We're lonely, please.
Become our fan.
Yeah, Daddy. Or we'll get creepy on them. Join the cult of the Small Business Podcast.
Join
Move
us
away to our compound
you.
And give away all your worldly possessions.
Oh, that's good, David.
Yeah.
Except for the small business, we don't try and get people into a cult. Oh, that's not true. We try and get you into the entrepreneurship cult because once you're in it, it's addictive. So,
it is.
Until next week,
I'm
David.
And I'm David.
Have a good week.
Thanks for listening. middle, hands in the middle.
I need to hit the discard button first. Discard. We're go. Ready? Hands in the middle. You got him in the middle? You ready
hands
to go?
In the middle.
Ready?
All right, ready.
Ready.
Go.
We're
going
to take it to this
hill.
We're
going to
go. Think this is the best podcast ever. You ready? You ready? You ready? You ready?
Ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.